Good morning, everybody out there. It's your boy, Mike Knox. And that's right, people. Welcome back to Around the Blocks with Mike Knox. I am your host, simply Mike Knox. But people, you already know that. And last night, we had the ability, if you will, so to speak, to check out the WWE's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. And I'm starting to have a little bit of an issue with the title of this pay-per-view being called Extreme Rules, because they no longer seem to get extreme, and that seems to bother me. I get you want to say this time of the year, but we first, as wrestling fans, right, because I don't know, I don't book the program, we first saw Extreme Rules as a way of, maybe that was their way of biting off Lethal Lockdown from Impact Wrestling. You know, some people say the WWE never took anything from Impact Wrestling or never stole anything from TNA. Well, that was the concept that TNA had, where they had that pay-per-view that was all locked into a steel cage. That's where the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view originally we thought was going to come from. But I'm watching Extreme Rules, leading up to Extreme Rules. A lot of things were being said about Extreme Rules, and I got a lot of wrestling things to get off my case, off my chest, if you will, so to speak. It's been a while since I've been here. I just moved into my new home, so I'm still trying to get my office together the way that I want it. I hope this is coming across clear. Hope this is coming across you can hear me very well as well. And if not, I'm going to repackage this and place it on the YouTube page as well. Shout out to hashtag useyourheadthechairshot.com, where you can find this episode of the JMO Around the Blocks with Mike Knox. Just my opinion. But let's just go ahead and get started with the black eye that I feel that's in wrestling right now. What's going on, Antonio? Is the return of one Terry Bollea. I refuse to call the man Hulk Hogan anymore. I used to say my prayers. I used to eat my vitamins. I used to do my workout regimen. I used to want to, I won't say be like Hulk, but, you know, I was a fan of this guy. And in the world we live in right now, I'm not saying I'm a big fan of the world we live in right now, where homosexuality is overplayed, where womenism is now overplayed, where everybody's offended by everything. I'm not going to play that role, but I am going to dive into it, stick my toe in the water. And when I tell you Hulk Hogan, yeah, I just said his name, returning officially to the WWE, not that we knew he was never removed and all those things as wrestling fans that we know, but he is officially signed back with the WWE and now reinstated, if you will, so to speak, into the wrestling WWE Hall of Fame. And with the news that came out about the Papa John's CEO, I just feel this was bad timing by Vince McMahon and the powers that be. But it's all about money. It's what we like to say in the wrestling business, putting butts in the seats, and bringing Terry Bollea back will make a lot of wrestling fans happy. I am just one of the black, many millions of black wrestling fans that are not happy by this. And I know you got your other side of black wrestling fans that are saying, well, you still watch wrestling. It's racist anyway. There's no black champions anyway. Well, you know what? I do rely on both sides of that spectrum. I feel that wrestling in itself is I won't just say racist. It's classism. It's sexism. That's been wrestling. It's a traveling circus. But in today's society, when racism is so prevalent with our celebrity in chief, and racism is so adamantly out there in America, thrown in our face as blacks, as Hispanics, it's, you know, a vote for Trump to me was just a vote against black people. It's a vote against anybody who's not American, European, white. So putting Hogan back into the Hall of Fame, to me, especially after the recent events of Papa John's CEO, I just thought that was bad timing, bad businessmanship by WWE. And I don't always feel the WWE has bad timing. I actually enjoy a lot of the things they do, and I think they do things very well. This for SummerSlam, maybe this could have waited maybe an extra year. I don't know. Let some of this stuff simmer down. I just don't know. Not a fan of Hulk Hogan coming back in this capacity. Also, what I want to talk about is something that has been wrestling fans. I don't care if whatever dirt sheet you like whatever, as I always say, hashtag death to dirt sheets, no matter if you're a Dave Meltzer fan or not. The reason why I got into media was that I got tired of two things. I got tired of people getting paid six figures to tell their opinion. Okay, let's be real. It's all about the dollar bill, y'all. So I figured let me go ahead and dip my toe in the water again if I could. But also because I got tired of the media not ever giving you the truth. The truth. When you click on a video, when you click on an article, I don't care if it's from sayyourprayers.com, wave your hand this way news blog. They're all trash. If it doesn't have a viable information source, then I call it trash. And I've been calling trash for the last year to 6 months about Daniel Bryan walking away from the WWE. Now, when I say what I'm about to say, as I said plenty of times before, again, I say this with the respect that one can give someone that I've never met personally of Daniel Bryan, okay? And that is, his wife is royalty in the WWE halls, okay? Down those halls, in those offices, Brie Bella, Nikki Bella, his sister-in-law, are royalty. There is no way that royalty's husband was going to walk out the door. Yeah, I know you're going to say, well, it's only a short-lived two-year contract. Well, that's probably about all he really has left if they don't do anything creative with him. But I knew him going to All In was not going to happen. I knew that him going back to Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, was not going to happen. There's no way with the injury history that he's had that his wife would be okay with him going back into a environment like Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, where it's a less safer and wrestling environment to go tangle with. So shout out to Brie Bella. Brie mode, putting her foot down, in my opinion, or her heel down, and saying, hey, me and Birdie B need you right here. I knew that Daniel Bryan would not leave and go to any other place, especially like All In. I know wrestling fans want to see it. You know, I'm not saying him staying at WWE is the best for him as a wrestling fan, but for his family, for his safety, I knew he was not going anywhere. Ziggler is trash, King Von Jr. right in there. I will get to the matches momentarily. I'm getting through how I felt leading up to Extreme Rules. I started off with Hogan. I'm here with Daniel Bryan. And I'm also now going to go on to you, the fans. And I've been harping on the fans. Thank you for actually putting that up, King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter, for putting it up so I can address the wrestling fans in the room, or the wrestling fans that will click, the wrestling fans that will listen and tune into what I have to say. And that is, I will never understand why you spend your hard-earned money to go boo or disrespect something. I go back, I'm going to tell a little story here. What was the movie? The movie had The Rock. It had Stifler in it. The very first, like, one of Rock's separated movies that he had when he was in the jungle and that stuff. And I never forget, I went to that movie theater, and I remember standing up, being a diehard wrestling fan, especially a big Rock fan, right? I stood up and said at that time, boo! Forget you, Rock. Go back to wrestling, right? That was it. That was it. I'm in a movie theater. It was actually a Wednesday, I think. No one was really there. Just me and my wife, my lady at the time. Hell, shit, she probably was my wife at the time. We've been here 15 years. But I remember at that moment, it was just that moment. And I'm sitting here saying I paid to go to the movie theater. I've been to WrestleManias. I've been to house shows. I've been to pay-per-views. I watched this stuff on television. And I just will never understand the wrestling audience today. If you're tired of their product, if you're tired of what they're giving you, I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad right now. I'm thinking of you. If you feel that it's not good, if you feel that it's not worthy, then why give it attention? Why give it time and effort? Just don't go. You want to hurt them? Do not show up. Someone put last week, or it was reported, right? The lowest ratings ever in the WWE. What's going on, Aunt Rosie? I love you too. The lowest ratings in Raw history. 16,000 people were still in the building. It's that simple. They don't see that. They don't see that. I mean, they see the ratings, but you're still showing up. You're still buying merchandise. They're still are turning a major profit here, guys. So if you want to hurt the WWE, do not show up to their events. Stop buying they t-shirts. I know I never will. Look at my wall. Look at my t-shirt. I am a wrestling mark. I have been called a hashtag WWE guy. Hey, if the shoe fits, I'm going to put the some bitch on. Okay, and I'm going to turn it sideways. I'm going to show you why I'm going to stick it up your candy ass and why I still think it's a good product. Maybe not for you. Hell, it's not even for me anymore. But I still think it's a good product for what they're giving to the audience and what they're trying to achieve. And that leads me to this. I felt in this pay-per-view that I'm about to dive into, okay, and if you have any questions or comments, please get ready. I thought they gave us back something, okay? And I'm going to start off with the pre-show. I'm going to start off with Sanity beating the New Day. Should have happened 3 weeks ago. In the words of Spotface, okay, that's at Spotface on Twitter, social media, wherever social media is sold, which is absolutely free. Since you're there following him, follow me as well. Mike Knox spelt with three X's. You already know why I'm hardcore. Epps, that is a long paragraph from where I'm sitting from my computer. So I'll get to that momentarily in what you put there. Shout out to Spot again, Mike Knox on Twitter, hashtag useyourheadchairshot.com. Follow them on Twitter as well as 1340 AM Fox Sports, Soul in Sports, how it sounds, S-O-U-L, capital letter N, Sports on the Twitter. But I love Dolph Ziggler saying he doesn't care about seeing the show. He cares about winning. I thought that mattered. I thought that that showed true signs of let wins matter. Wins have to start mattering in the WWE because wins have been, let's just say, non-existent in the WWE over the past few years. So I think that that was a good thing, and him making that statement. I thought into the pay-per-view, I'm not going to talk about, I'm not saying it, whether I liked it or I didn't like it yet. I'm saying in the pay-per-view and the events that have took place in the pay-per-view, talking about WWE Extreme Rules, which, by the way, okay, I will say this much for those who are still probably here waiting and watching for me to say something that you can argue with. I will say the G1 Climax was better than Extreme Rules, okay? But I'm saying that because of what I watch in G1 Climax and what I fell in love with in that, to me, late 2000-ish kind of wrestling era. Like, I love the Attitude Era, but I thought the Ruthless Aggression Era was way better than the Attitude Era. Thought they had better superstars, better talent, and everything else that took place. I thought that's where I like that wrestling. That's a New Japan Pro Wrestling right now is on fire. And after the year that we've had now, if you've watched it consistently over the year, not if you watched it before then and all that stuff, but to me, the consistent the past year, they have been consistent, and WWE does it to watch out. Hence why something else that's touching my spirit, like I'm in church, is Ring of Honor New Japan's show in New York next year, April 6th, during WrestleMania weekend. That is major, especially from off of last year's Supercard show that Ring of Honor put on that was trash. So they better come correct, or they U.S. fans might start to feel like we're getting the shaft here. But into this pay-per-view, and I'm going to start from the top to the bottom, because as that guy say, Kiki, do you love me? I can't do that stuff, right, guys? So B-Team beating Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy needed to happen, and here's why. And maybe I'm corny when I say this. I am somebody. I am a fan of the B-Team. I have been a fan of B-Team since week 3. Yeah, I'm not going to sit there and say I've been a fan since day 1, because you're like, what the hell are they doing? What is this trash that's going on? But after a couple of weeks and watching those guys, first of all, always been a fan of Bo Dallas, okay? I did believe, okay? I was a believer, okay? Never got into McGillicuddy. I know he's good in the ring, but we've all felt that he fell short first starting off with the name, okay? But nevertheless, I thought that win was significant, as I just spoke about wins and losses in the WWE. So I thought that win was significant. But the answer was why, though, right? Why the win? I do think it, man. I think it was time to get the belt off of Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. And I'm going to tell you guys why. I've said from the beginning, I'm a fan of Matt Hardy. I have been a fan of Matt Hardy since version one, Die Hardly, meaning since he came into his singles gimmick of being Matt Hardy version one. Nah, I have been a Die Hard fan. I even liked Brother Nero and what he's doing now with his gimmick and Impact Wrestling. I said from the beginning that I didn't think it would work in a WWE arena, in a WWE crowd, in a WWE environment, and here's why. I think it has failed every step of the way. Toll deletion, people fell in love with it. I thought was absolute trash. I thought I did not like toll deletion. If it was for you, that's for you. I don't harp. And that's one thing you'll get from me and around the block to Mike Knox is that I do not harp on things I do not like, other than perhaps the fans that go to these things and cheer for these things. I don't harp on these things. They're good, they're bad, they're indifferent. It's wrestling. I move on. You, some of you fans out there, you get really butthurt. And I mean, like, seriously butthurt if they do something you don't like or if they do something you don't think that was good writing. I'm just not that kind of guy. But that's the question, is why. So now we're hearing this morning from hashtag the Dirt Sheets that, again, I don't look at. They just happen to be in my timeline, so I spot it and I point it out. And as, oh, now they're going to break up. Well, if that is the case, they should have been broke up. We never thought it would go this far in the first place. And once he joined with Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt, we're talking about, I thought he should have turned on him eventually, maybe even pairing him with Sanity. I know some people say, oh, don't ruin Sanity because, you know, you have Eric Young and they're doing everything over there. But I just think they're the same kind of entity of what they do. Moving on, Balor versus Baron Corbin. Balor with the win with a roll up. Not the greatest match. I'm a huge fan of Balor. Mark, I'm actually a fan of Baron Corbin. Just didn't like that matchup right there. Team Hell No taken out backstage by the Bludgeon Brothers, or as my kids like to refer to them as, the Belgian Waffles. Carmella versus Asuka with Ellsworth in a shark cage. Again, Carmella wins this match. Ellsworth's climb out. He's hanging down. Asuka gets distracted. She pushes Asuka's head into the cage. 1, 2, 3 with another roll-up. Here's my thing with two roll-ups in the night. Matter of fact, Baron Corbin and Balor don't even matter. They were just there. It's a four-hour wrestling program. You got to fill the stat sheet somehow. But I believe Mella is money. My problem is what the hell are you doing with Asuka? Asuka is probably the second baddest woman on the planet. Maybe third, if you want to put her behind Charlotte. Okay, because I still think Charlotte's the greatest female wrestler of all time. But what are you doing with Asuka? No matter how money Carmella is, excuse me, we cannot go back to that style of women's wrestling being dominant. And that's what I'm seeing. Like, by now, Carmella should have lost the belt. Put the belt on Asuka. Let's see what she can do as champion. She went damn near 2 years undefeated. She loses to Charlotte at WrestleMania. And let's just be honest here, guys. Only person she's beat since then is James Ellsworth. Completely trash. Okay, that's what I would say from other wrestling fans who get butthurt about these things, is that's total trash booking. But I do think Mella's money. Again, where Mella, meaning Carmella, does not excel at in the ring, I think she excels very well in her charisma. I give her that, and that's what I love about Mella and why I think Mella is money. Jeff Hardy versus Nakamura, U.S. title match, I thought was awesome because we've heard rumors. Right, whether it's Dirt Sheets or not, or lack of him, you know, wrestling lately, is that Jeff Hardy is banged up. And as a matter of fact, I think I heard it from the cat's mouth that he said he was banged up. But Nakamura winning the U.S. title, I like that. I think let's see what he can do. He's gone up against certain guys. I'm liking the heel version of Nakamura. I know that some people aren't. I know some people still always try to compare it to his New Japan style of wrestling. But people, again, New Japan, WWE, okay? This is not a scale of justice, but this is where they are as far as the difference in that's not similar. There's no similarities in the two companies. There's just not. So you have to watch one company for what it is, or you don't, right? But if you're watching it, this is what it is. And then here's New Japan Pro, and this is what it is. There's no comparing. Like when my man, Mr. Lopez, would tell me, you can't compare Impact Wrestling to WWE. He was completely right and honest about that. You can't. Two different promotions. But I thought that was dope. But I thought was going to be hot was Orton returning, but he comes out and he attacks Jeff Hardy. Questions again, why? Now, as this night went on, when we had Nakamura win, we had the B team win. At this point, I sent out a tweet thinking that, okay, the WWE is finally listening to some of their fans. They're pulling the trigger and doing some things that are fan favorite like. So I thought that I was okay with that. Cage match between Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens. Rest in peace, Kevin Owens. So I wore my shirt for him this morning, throwing him off the top of the cage. And I tell you one thing, okay, same arena. It was in Pittsburgh, okay? watching Braun Strowman stand on the top of that cage was eerie similar to watching Undertaker after he threw off Mick Foley. It was insane because this wasn't one of those bumps that we've seen Kevin Owens take or we've seen Shawn Michaels take. Like, I'm a huge HBK mark. But let's be real here. Shawn Michaels never, you know, outside the one ladder, never really goes to the top of the ladder, right? He falls like halfway off the stuff, right? And that's smart for him and his health, right? But this time, Kevin Owens got fully tossed off the cage onto the chairs. I mean, onto the announce table, which they fixed later on, which I hate that. It broke, let it stay broke, okay? Why is such the cost? Imagine the WWE these days, I don't know. But to me, that was a holy shit moment and probably the highlight of the night because after that we had Team Hell No, which was pretty much Daniel Bryan because Kane was taken out backstage by the Bludgeon Brothers, a.k.a. my kids like to call them the Belgian Waffles, took them out, and we knew it was going to happen there. We knew Kane would make some kind of triumphant return, and we thought they would win, but thank God they didn't. The Bludgeon Brothers retained. Then we had Roman Reigns versus Bobby Lashley, which shocked the wrestling world. Bobby Lashley beats Roman Reigns straight up clean. 1, 2, 3, and the middle of the ring. I guess it's his dog, his yard now. The match itself, slowly paced. Little throwback in the ring, if you will, as far as the match itself went back and forth. Could have done better. See, this is why I have my conflicting feelings about this pay-per-view. The outcomes I was okay with outside of Carmella. Outside of two matches. Outside of the women's matches, which for me, I thought the women have run the WWE for the last couple of months. I thought both endings were not what I would have wanted. But the matches weren't all bad, or were they, right? Because then after that, like I just said, Bobby Lashley shocks the world. Alexa Bliss taking on Nia Jax in the only Extreme Rules match of the pay-per-view, which is why I think they should change the name, which was stupid of me. And when you saw this, you figured you knew Alexa Bliss would win. She can't beat Nia Jax straight up, so she has to beat her in an Extreme Rules match. But again, this is making Nia Jax look weak. I love Alexa Bliss. I am a Blissful fan. Okay, if I had the belt, you know, whatever the hell she does with the titles, I love her. I love everything about Alexa Bliss, her in-ring, her mic skills. But she's 4'7", maybe 5 foot. Okay, her losing repeat, or her beating, shall we say, repeatedly beating Nia Jax is putting Nia Jax down. Nia Jax is supposed to be truly the baddest woman on the planet. But somehow in this match where Natty could have made sense better in my as far as booking, with Natty maybe throwing Ronda over the apron since Ronda is back with suspension, doesn't lift until Wednesday. Technically, now you want to follow 30 days, but Brock Lesnar's had the belt for how long? But now you want to follow 30-day rules? Okay, all of a sudden, Ronda Rousey's back looking as stellar as ever, but you're making Nia look bad. Again, a pay-per-view without Elias, bummer. Okay, AJ Styles beating Rusev in a really, really, really good match. Why was it not the main event? It's the only world title on the show. Makes no sense that AJ versus Rusev does not main event. But this is the WWE these days. It's not about the title, although it should be. Although they make the announcement that today on Raw, if Brock Lesnar does not show up, does not guarantee when he's going to have his next title match, they're supposed to strip him. Okay, so let's see what happens with that. Again, them responding to the WWE universe, if you will, so to speak. But then we had this 30-man Iron Man match between Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins. And again, I will say Seth Rollins over Kenny Omega any day. And I love Dolph Ziggler in-ring ability. These two have had better matches on a house show than they had last night in a 30-man Iron Man match. These two have had better matches on Raw recently than they had at this pay-per-view 30-man Iron Man match. When I send out a goddamn tweet that says you're better than Kenny Omega, then you put on a show. You don't get to come off ordinary. What the hell was that? Somebody tell me. What kind of match was that? Dolph Ziggler's better than that? Seth Rollins is better than that? Drew McIntyre's better than that? Hell, I'd have wished the wrestling world that thought that hashtag I'm a Dean Ambrose guy was coming back would have happened more than that shit. That that's where the pay-per-view, in my opinion, Solon Sports, that I was not controlling last night, tweeted out trash rules. Because that was trash. I don't understand that. You have a 30-minute Iron Man match where six of the falls that happened in this match were decided in the first 10 minutes. These guys wrestled on television when no one could win for up to the end of the match. But yet, we're to believe that six pinfalls are to occur that fast. The roll-up by Seth Rollins in the beginning, that happens. That's wrestling. I was okay with that. Because we got to get away from these Iron Man matches where people think, oh, there should be no pinfall until the end, or, oh, that's the, it's kind of hard to do things over and over and over again and be unique. So I'm okay with that, okay? We knew Drew McIntyre would get involved, but damn, he beat his ass so bad that Dolph got three pins in a row off of it? Come on, man. I played a game, video game. It's impossible to jump somebody and get three wins in a row like that. The game just won't let you. So how can you do it in real life? On this match, my kids fell asleep. And my kids love to scream every single time, burn it down! And guess what? They burned their asses to sleep because that match was trash. And that's where people say the pay-per-view was trash. It's not about the whole story sometimes. It's about what you leave them, where they thought was next, their memory of the night. I'm going to come a little closer, guys, so I can read some of these comments. Okay? See if I can put my camera down a little bit. Okay, I just don't understand. Makes no sense to me. Excuse me, coming getting over a little of a cold here, but I just do not understand how this is a pay-per-view the WWE expects us to be completely on board with. I don't get it. I need to understand it. I need to understand WWE. I need to understand so many things that I cannot understand, and that's Nia Jax losing, that's the continuance of Mella beating Asuka. Let Carmella beat the Iconics. She can't beat Asuka repeatedly. She just can't. It's just, I just don't see that happening. Just the night itself, a 3 out of 5 U.S. spinner belts. John Cena, it started off like it had promise, and then it just faded out. Like, I still love that title a lot because, you know, everybody said, oh, I hated that belt. No, stop it. Wrestling fans today are so full of shit because when that title first came out, all you marks, all you muff diving marks were on that title, okay? You can say you hate John Cena all you want to, but when Bling Blau was, when G-Unit was hot, that was hot. Okay, hence why the WWE title that was a spinner was hot. Hence why when Miz got it and turned it upside down, it was hot. Hit it why when Edge turned it to a rated R superstar title, it was hot. Okay, so I don't want to hear that bullshit from wrestling fans. But I will give you this shit right here to smell over. And that is this pay-per-view was a stinker. It says, I'm on Twitter and I'm telling my homegirl, it wasn't that bad. Stop reading opinions. Gotta go watch it. And then the final match happened. And again, I'm a fan and believing how you leave fans is where they will remember you. And a pay-per-view that was just okay, that was not extreme, dropped the ball with two of their best in the company. When you're putting a focal point of the pay-per-view on your intercontinental title, I'm sorry, your intercontinental heavyweight title, which those are guys, that's Raw's number one title since we don't see the Universal title. Okay, I get it. You want to put Raw on last. That's your bread and butter events. But AJ Styles and Rusev with that crowd could have closed that show out and would have been perfectly fine. What's wrong with Rusev main eventing? That makes no sense to me. And it's for the WWE title. I know it's a secondary title. I told fans that a while ago that, you know, the Universal title is the number one company's title because to them it's the WWE Universe. Not just the WWE Championship. The WWE Championship has been reduced to the World Heavyweight Championship, to be honest. It's a secondary tier title with the company's name on it. So still, why can't a black man hold it? Different conversation for a different day. But what's some of these comments here? Talk about the G1. I'm on your side and agree with you on that. I give up on WWE and found that it's no interesting. I so found it that I do enjoy New Japan Pro Wrestling. No point in watching something that I no longer enjoy, and I don't have time and effort to put into something like that. I did watch Extreme Rules on what I saw last night and enjoyed the show, but could have gotten into the matches because the fans were chanting random shit. I agree. Roman main events and fans boo Intercontinental main events, and they still boo. Fans are hurting the product. I've been saying that for about 3-4 years now, Epps, and I completely agree with you on that. I've been saying that. It just repeatedly keeps happening, going on. I stopped liking WWE since February, man. The win-loss column matters to me, and they just gave up on bad decisions and have to go watch New Japan as well. And I have to watch. Yeah, New Japan, if you're into what most of us are into and what we started to watch and started to love, that the action and the storyline. Because remember, I'm a guy who believes in hashtag wrestling is storyline. Okay, if there's no storyline, I can't really get into the wrestling. So New Japan has opened up that window. It's starting to, it's lending itself, if you will, to the U.S. audience. Jericho helped that out an awful lot. Omega and him helping that out a lot. The Bucks, Cody, are helping that out an awful lot. I'm a big fan of Sling Blade. Huge fan of Sling Blade over there. I said that going back to, and you guys, New Japan is not totally my thing. So wrestling fans are there, please don't jump on my night. What was the event that happened in the year that happened when Jericho and them fought Naito, or who did Jericho just fight? Was it him and Omega? Whatever that big, their big WrestleMania thing, Wrestle Kingdom. I've been a fan of it since I seen him on there. I think Jay White is tremendous. And so during Offspring, I'm like this with Offspring, but I'm okay. Okada, the John Cena of New Japan Pro Wrestling, which I told you I seen some stats at, right? Why fans wouldn't get on Brock Lesnar, that man has defended that title no more than Brock Lesnar has. But overall, guys, this pay-per-view to me fell short. I would give it a 3 out of 5, like I said, U.S. spinner title belts, just under-delivered when it had a chance to be new and fresh and started off new and fresh with the B-team winning, with the pre-show kicked it off very well. This was 4 hours. Close to 5 hours of WWE entertainment that I thought they had a chance. Hell, even the after show was better than some of the stuff that happened where Bobby Lashley challenges Brock Lesnar for the title, okay? Where the B show, the B team, which I ordered my B team shirt, by the way, I'm a corny guy like that. It's just, it's time for the company to stop, you know, jerking me around. And I said it because I thought the company doesn't know what it wants to do. It tries to lend itself to the audience so much that it takes away from what it wants to do. And I think they're having a difficult time finding that balance of young people, international people, U.S. fans, and trying to mix that together. I don't know who's running the show. I don't know who's writing the show. I've never cared about that stuff before. I'm not one of them guys who's going to care about that now. I have friends of the program that write on SmackDown and Raw, so I'm not going to say what they wrote or not is bad or not. It's just some things I don't like. And other things I honestly did not like was the main event. I thought was I didn't like how that came off. I thought it could have came off a lot better. And thank you, Thomas. Lee, that show was very good. I just did not like the way that it came off at the end. I thought that match, they under-delivered when they're better than that. They're so much better than that, Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins, that was just, I don't use the word trash a lot, okay? But Soul and Sports used the trash emoji. That match was trash how it ended. And even the overtime, and it had the over, like, why kicking out the ring, right? And Drew McIntyre, who I'm a fan of, still got a Drew McIntyre original t-shirt, okay, the chosen one. Why kick him out to have him come back in overtime to get the win? That just didn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Mella with the roll up, Asuka has to win the title or let Asuka back to Raw, okay? And then Nia Jax losing to Alexa Bliss again, it has to go. Best thing of the night, honestly, was Mickie James. Mickie James is like Pharrell. She's a vampire. She does not age. Mickie James is amazing. Michael Lee, what do you say? How you have an Extreme Rules pay per view and the majority of the matches are not even kind of Extreme Rules? I said that as well. Like, you got to change the name of this pay-per-view. It is not extreme. There's nothing extreme about Extreme Rules. It is absolutely, positively a waste of a title. Not too many titles that I have. But guys, listen, I'm going to about here. Thank you. I've wasted 35 plus minutes of your time. I want to do some editing so I can put this on my YouTube channel. So please go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/THAGAMEV1. See, I told you guys I'm a Matt Hardy fan. I've been a Matt Hardy fan. That's been my gamer tag on Xbox for 14 years, the game V1. So that's also my YouTube channel as well. But also follow me on Twitter at Mike Knox. Also, hashtag use your head to chairshot.com. Look for this episode on there and many, many more as I go around the blocks with Mike Knox. And guys, listen, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get the fuck up out of here. WWE Extreme Rules, really? Really? Trash rules, man. Everything around me.